From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and TGM's own Matt Bennett will be here from Windsor to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. Along the way today, we'll talk with Bob Dewey. He's at Country Financial. They sell crop insurance. The month of February, of course, is the most important risk management month of the year. That, according to the folks upstairs in Mumford Hall, the agricultural economist, Bob Dewey will help us take a look at crop insurance and what's being offered by USDA RMA for this growing season. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Settlement prices in Chicago finished like this. The March wheat at 653 and a half, up 12 and a quarter. May futures 666 and three quarters, up 10 and a half. And July at $6.80, 8 3/4 higher. The hard red in Kansas City at 724 and a half, a settlement price up 10 and a quarter cents. March corn futures 634 and a half unchanged. May down a quarter at 640. July corn 643 and three quarters, a quarter lower. And the September futures at $5.88 and three quarters, up 1 3/4. December new crop $5.66, three higher. March futures of next year 578 and a quarter in the corn pit, up 3. March soybean futures $12.22 and three quarters, 9 1/4 higher. The May at $12.32. up 9 1/4, and July futures 12.41 and 3 quarters in the bean pit, up 9 1/4 as well. August 9 1/4 higher too at $12.39 and a half, and the November beans at 12.21 and 3 quarters, up 8 cents. January of next year at 12.28 and 3 quarters, up 7 1/2. March bean meal at 3.23.60, 2.50 higher. March soybean oil 51.94, up 55 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the February contract at 124.55, down $1.30. April at 128 and a nickel, a buck 12 and a half lower. January feeders at 153, up 47 and a half cents. But the March, down $1.37 and a half at 153.62 and a half. And February lean hogs on the afternoon for 100 pounds, $85.95, down 67 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. March contract, $99.86, up 45 cents. Ethanol at 218 and 7 tenths, that's 4 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas at 260 and 6 tenths, down 12 and 3 tenths. And the heating oil for the day, or diesel fuel, at $3.05 and 2 tenths of a cent, up 3 and 3 tenths of a cent. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,726.30, up $26.50. an ounce. From the land of Grant University.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Total Grain Marketing in Effingham, presenting a market outlook meeting with David Hightower of the Hightower Report on Wednesday, February 1st at 6:30 p.m. at the Days Inn in Mattoon. David has been featured on CNN, Bloomberg Television, The Wall Street Journal, and many other industry publications.
You know, you're listening to WILL AM 580. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the afternoon. Cloudy yet for the day, according to the National Weather Service, with a high near 39 degrees, a west wind at 7-9 tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 25 degrees, a west-northwest wind between 8 and 11. That'll gust all the way to 15. And then Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 42 degrees. Friday night, a chance of rain, snow before midnight, then a chance of snow, mostly cloudy, a low of 26, with a west wind between 8 and 13, gusting to 16. Chance of precipitation on Friday evening set at 40%. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 38, with a west wind at 13 to 15. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 24 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny and 30. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 20. Monday, partly sunny, a high of 42. And Monday night, partly cloudy, with a low of 34 degrees. By the time we get to Tuesday, we should see mostly cloudy skies. The high, about 47 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, and a low of 34. And on Wednesday, sunny skies, a high near 47. And that's a look at the weather forecast for Urbana-Champaign. on the phone line with us now to take a look on this Thursday afternoon at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you doing today?
Doing just fine.
Tell me about the marketplace. It's been, I guess I want to call it unique for the last couple of weeks because we've been moving higher, but most everybody in the trade is looking out and thinking we're not sure about which direction we're headed. What are you saying?
Well, I think we're headed higher, but we're not going to go straight up. I mean, I'm in the camp that we're going to go into a spring high. I think short term, though, we might be reaching a point of resistance, and maybe we're ripe here for a period of consolidation or some kind of setback here going into the last 3 days of the month. But, you know, both soybeans and wheat have regained their January crop report losses. Corn came fairly close to regaining their crop report loss until the close here. We kind of finished unchanged after being sharply higher earlier in the session. So that kind of tells me we're getting some farmer selling in here. Farmers, I know, probably have more corn inventory around than what they wish they had after they saw the January crop report. So I think the corn market is probably the way the things act, and it's buying a little cash corn from the farmer. But, you know, short term, I think we're ready for some consolidation, maybe even a little corrective move. But we've had a real nice recovery off of those January crop report lows. And the key driving forces, probably the dollar has really taken a tumble here over the past week and a half or so. And then, of course, the Argentine corn crop has come down sharply. It's debatable, you know, how much of a decline. But we, you know, I think as traders look ahead at the February crop report, I think you're going to see some downward adjustments in the South American productions, both soybeans and corn, and that's going to tighten world balance sheets. So, you know, I think as we look ahead, maybe things aren't quite as bad as what USDA's numbers implied there on the January crop report.
You mean in terms of short supply or not?
In terms of we may have smaller supplies around than what the January crop report implied.
All right. So when you put that in context with next year's crop, the one to be planted yet, what do you suppose producers ought to be thinking about?
Look for an early calendar year high. That's my guess at this point for what I know. I think we're going to have some weather issues, primarily probably going to be Western Corn Belt weather issues, too dry Western Corn Belt, Southern Minnesota, maybe too wet Ohio River Valley. So planting, it's a little early yet to talk about planting, but February 1 is upon us, and I know the corn down in the valley, Texas Valley, is 3-4 inches high already. So the growing season has begun, even though we haven't got our corn planters going yet here in Illinois. So, I think there's enough uncertainty in the outside market activities. I think Bernanke's back printing money. He got a new typewriter keyboard to keep punching those zeros. And I think the dollar is probably in for a period of weakness. Now, we did find some support here today at today's lows. That was about a 38% retracement level of the advance that we've had since basically October. So the dollar may consolidate a little bit, but I think the longer-term trend is for the dollar to weaken as Bernanke tries to keep, printing money and trying to hold values higher than what they probably really should be at.
On the new crop, you said an early calendar year high for that. So you're thinking in the first 6 months of this year?
Well, if I was going to give you a window, and I mean, this is just one of those wild AEGs, is April 15th, give or take 30 days. So I think starting in March, one should be on the outlook for something. I think you got to follow the seasonal pattern, and if the corn market is not in an uptrend in the middle part of March, you may have to make some decisions. And the same way with November soybeans. I mean, seasonally, the market basically climbs higher into a June-July high and then falls back into an October-December low. Last year was a pretty perfect type seasonal advance. The old crop months did peak in June, but they were at such a big premium to new crops that when they went off the board and then we got into late season dryness, then November and December corn crops were able to come back and make higher highs, but they did not make lead option highs. And then, of course, and seasonally, is we fell into a December low, and now we're back climbing seasonally. I like the quarterly chart, the price action on the quarterly chart. We had a quarterly reversal to the upside in the last 3 months of last year, so that kind of tells me those December lows are important lows, and I think the most recent test of those lows last week, or during the January crop report when we went down and test them and support surfaced above those lows, and now we've come back rallying. I think that solidifies those lows up pretty good on the chart. New crop months, I see head and shoulder bottom formations in the new crop months. They're actually in the old crop months too. So we do have a lot of head and shoulder bottom formations that if that gives the market, I think, an opportunity to rally, depending upon how the fundamentals unfold over the next 60 to 90 days.
Does it surprise you that that those technical signs are showing up, or the trade has done that, given the high levels at which we are and have been trading corn and soybeans?
Well, you got to keep in mind that in technical analysis, we're trying to get ahead of the actual fundamentals that are coming at us through the study of price action and the study of chart formations. And basically, what those head and shoulder bottom formations tell me is that we got something ahead of us that's going to give us a shot at some a pretty nice rally. Now, there's no guarantees. I'm not going to give anybody any guarantees on that because nothing's perfect in this world. But it tells me either our money is going to go worthless if we have a major decline in the dollar back to the 70 level, maybe even maybe new lows, for example. I think these commodity prices, you could put any kind of number on them because it'll take more dollars to buy a bushel of corn or a bushel of beans or a barrel of oil. And I think that's the risk the Fed runs. But until Washington gets their act together, the Fed has to print money because they keep spending more than what they take, and they have to continue to expand the monetary supply. So, that's the problem or the downside with the Fed expansion is it's going to raise the price of commodities that could very easily choke off any kind of economic recovery. I mean, you look at $100 crude oil, I could see that thing, I mean, depending upon what happens in the Gulf, that could spike to $150 pretty quickly, and we'd have $5, $6 gasoline. And if $4 chokes the economy, what do you think $5 or $6 gasoline would do?
Well, on that happy note, I guess I'll let you go.
Yeah, no way to have any money for a McDonald's hamburger. McDonald's profits would probably go down after having a record profit here this past quarter.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Total Grain Marketing in Effingham, presenting a Market Outlook meeting with David Hightower of the Hightower Report on Wednesday, February 1st at 6:30 p.m. at the Days Inn in Mattoon. David has been featured on CNN, Bloomberg Television, The Wall Street Journal, and many other industry publications.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Hey, have you visited our website lately at WILLAG.org? If you have not, the first thing you'll find is an agenda for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Here's a complete list of the folks that you'll be seeing on stage on that first Tuesday of the month of March. Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzlo, Bill Mayer, Greg Johnson, Aaron Curtis, Matt Bennett, Chuck Shelby, Dan Zwicker, Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, Jackie Vakes, and if that's not enough, Mike Morris, who's from First Farm Credit Services. He's their chief land appraiser. And we'll talk about MF Global 2. Joe Vaklovic of Straits Financial will be there, along with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services. Both are out of Chicago, Illinois. Our all-day Ag Outlook meeting, it's $25 to attend, and you can get your ticket right now. Dial this number, 217-333-7300. Dial the number now, 217-333-7300.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Let's check in with Bob Dewey now. He's at Country Financial in Bloomington, Illinois, and as a crop insurance coordinator there, was joining us to talk a little bit about next month, February, which isn't too far away, and then, of course, March, when decisions will be made by producers on the types of crop insurance that they might take. Bob, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We have had many discussions on this program about what USDA RMA has done in the last year to change crop insurance, in particular the combo plans. Can you tell me a bit more about the re-ratings and the trend-adjusted yield, please?
You bet, Todd. I think the farmers are really going to want to talk about the trend-adjusted option and the re-rating this year when they have their visits with their agents. The trend-adjusted APH option really gives farmers a new tool that they can use to increase their federal crop insurance guarantees. And, Todd, I think a lot of farmers are really going to like this option because they feel that the yields that they use for their crop insurance guarantees today don't really accurately reflect their current yield potential.
And as they take a look at that yield, it's going to be adjusted in most states in the Midwest probably by about 11 bushels. But if you could go through the process of how that change is made.
You bet. A trend adjustment factor is going to be provided for both corn and soybeans for each county. And then this factor is going to represent the annual increase in yield for that particular county. And then each yield, each actual yield that is reported in a farmer's insurance unit, we'll have this factor applied times the number of years that have actually passed since that yield was reported. So this is going to allow the farmer's APH to be adjusted upward.
And they'll not only see their APH adjusted upward, but their premium has been re-rated across the Midwest. So some states are higher, some will be lower. Who's going to benefit and who will not?
RMA has said that the adjustment is going to average about 12%, a decline about 12% for Illinois this year for both corn and soybeans. As you know, though, Todd, that adjustment is going to be specific to individual counties. So some counties are going to see a little bit more of an adjustment than other counties.
And are there places in Illinois that will not see a benefit from that re-rating?
I think in the St. Louis area for corn, there's going to be a couple counties that are going to be a little bit less or no change. But for the vast majority of counties from central Illinois upward, they're going to see a reduction in premium.
And then tell me about the difference between what RMA has done and how it impacts the combo products. And you might explain what those are again.
Yeah.
And GRIP as well.
Yeah. The combo policies were new last year, as you're well aware of. I think the most popular option that our customers are looking at is the revenue policies.
Mm-hmm.
There's one with and without that fall harvest option. And I would say over 80% of our customers are taking the revenue policies today. But there are other options. The county-based plans of insurance, the GRIP, and the GRP policies are both available. And they allow a farmer to basically base their guarantee off a county average rather than their individual average. I think a lot of farmers, though, are going to be looking at, with this new trend adjustment option this year, they're going to be looking at taking the individual policies and bumping their APH up. And with the decrease in rates, I think it's really going to give them a great guarantee with, and it's going to cost them a little less money.
They can do one of two things, I suppose. They can stay where they are on the guarantee, right?
Yes.
Or they can save money and drop down, say, from 85 to what, 75, and still get, roughly speaking, the same type of coverage?
Yeah, I think a lot of folks are going to look at taking the trend adjustment option, and they're going to look at the 80% coverage level, because at the 80% coverage level, 48% of their premium is subsidized by the federal government. So that gives farmers a really good guarantee at a reduced premium. But if a farmer is aggressive and he's planting six-way stacked hybrids and pouring on the fertilizer, he may want to look at the 85% coverage level with the trend adjustment option. But he has that option, and I think they really need to get to their crop certified rep to sit down and look at some premiums and make a decision based on their own individual operation.
Almost everybody should take that option?
I think it's going to be a great option. I don't think many farmers are not going to like it. The thing that they're going to want to look at is what coverage level do I take? And as you mentioned earlier, a lot of folks are going to be looking at that 80% coverage level because about almost half of the premium is subsidized. So they could take the trend adjustment option, bump their coverage up, take the 80% coverage option, get a lot of coverage for less money.
And one note, I suppose, is that, and I suspect almost every agent will remind them, but it's an option, so they must sign up for it. It's a pilot program. It's not automatically included with the crop insurance coverage.
You're absolutely correct. They'll have to make this election by March 15th, which is the sales closing date.
And the BE that we used to deal with for some of the products that were put into the field with corn, those things that were genetically engineered, those have gone away?
Yes, they sure have. The farmers that were planting the qualifying triple-stacked varieties of corn, that discount is gone. Basically, when that was implemented several years ago, there were just a few people starting to plant those varieties. Now everybody's planting them, and those rates have just been absorbed into the rates that Federal Crop has, so there is no longer a discount offered.
And producers should contact their agents starting March 1 or before?
Oh, definitely before. I think they need to, as soon as they can make an appointment, they need to be sitting down and looking at all the options that they have, in particular this new trend adjustment this year, running out some scenarios, looking at what they had last year and discussing, does that really fit with my operation this year? So the sooner they can get there, the better. More time they take to look things over.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Thank you, Todd, very much. Appreciate
it. Bob Dewey is with Country Financial. He is in Bloomington, Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, have you made that phone call yet? 217-333-7300. That's 333-7300. To purchase your tickets ahead of time for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting, it's scheduled for the Beep House over in Covington, Indiana, on the first Tuesday of the month of March. That's the sixth day. $25. You can call now and get your tickets. They're going very quickly. Make sure you register today. We will not take calls, by the way, Friday or Monday for the all-day Ag Outlook. So if you're going to do it, you need to call right now at 217-333-7300.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Back in 2 minutes for most of you with the cash grain markets.
It's National Irish Coffee Day. It's also Dinner Party Out Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, in Shays Rebellion, a group of poor farmers protesting high taxes marched into Springfield, Massachusetts to seize the federal arsenal. Shays Rebellion caused George Washington to emerge from retirement to advocate a stronger national government. In 1799, the Lacham Spooner of Vermont patented a gravity-feed seed planting machine, but it was not until 1840 that a truly practical seed planting machine was developed when Joseph Gibbons received a patent for a machine that combined a grain drill with cavities to deliver the seed and a device to regulate the volume. In 1915, Alexander Graham Bell inaugurated U.S. Transcontinental Telephone Service, speaking from New York to Thomas Watson in San Francisco. By the way, the phone line used 2,500 tons of copper wire and 130,000 telephone poles. In 1945, Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters topped the charts with Don't Fence Me In. By the way, Crosby recorded the song without ever having previously heard of it or seen it. And in 1955, U.S. and Panama signed the Panama Canal Treaty. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois, on the phone line to take up the cash grain markets. Matt, so much thanks for being with us here on the program. Just a reminder that Matt was with us on Commodity Week last week. You can hear that, of course, on our website at willag.org. Our guest then was Dave Hightower, and Matt and TGM are bringing him to the day's end, right, Matt, there in Mattoon, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Next Wednesday night on the 1st at 6:30, you'll be coming in and spending some time with us and give a pretty good presentation, and then a Q&A session so guys can kind of pick his brain a little bit on strategies or the direction of the market that they think he thinks that we're going to have here moving forward.
Yeah, everybody's welcome.
Oh, everyone's welcome. Doesn't matter if you even know what TGM is, to be honest with you. Just show up and come in and hear some good news, hopefully.
So that's next Wednesday at the Day's End there in Mattoon, Illinois at 6:30. Let's talk about the cash grain market. Producers have been happy to move grain this week on a little uptrend in the marketplace?
Yep, there's been a little more movement here. You know, you read on some of the wires that farmers have been selling a little bit more, and we're seeing that locally as well. You know, we've gotten so much back after the report that guys are, you know, kind of sitting around saying, well, maybe we shouldn't miss the boat this time. And we've had probably a little more selling than we've had for several weeks.
You think that's a good idea?
Oh, I don't see any problem with it whatsoever. I think it's an excellent price. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have guessed that we were going to be back up here this quickly after the numbers that we had that came out there on the January report. So I think it's a good idea to go ahead and catch up to where you need to be. And as far as anything other than gambling bushels, I really feel like, especially in the corn market, they should be moved.
How about on the soybeans? We don't talk too much about that in the cash side.
Yeah, it's really tough to tell. And beans are still, you know, kind of at a stranglehold with the South American weather. But, you know, this week they've actually performed fairly well amidst some pretty good forecasts down there. And, you know, some of the, panic of, hot, dry forecasts have kind of subsided a little bit this week. And we've still been able to perform fairly well. So it's been interesting to see this bean market moving forward. I still don't see any reason to store 12-plus beans, in my opinion, on the cash side. I would rather, if a guy wants to kind of speculate and hold on to his cards a little bit, maybe look towards the fall beans to wait around on making sales.
Come back to corn. Talk to me about end users. When we discussed this cash grain market yesterday with the Andersons Climbers facility, it's an ethanol production plant there in Delphi, Indiana. They were 18 over. They were really looking for corn still. How about the end users you deal with?
Yeah, most of them that we are dealing with are still pushing pretty hard. One thing I haven't seen is maybe the push for corn for next summer, you know, as much, because we were selling a lot of corn earlier in the year last year. We haven't seen that so much, but as far as for some of this nearby stuff, we've booked some awfully good basis levels out here. Guys are still looking for corn, so I think it's very much happening.
All right, your bids for the day.
Our cash corn bid would be 6.39, falls 5.40. Our cash bean bid would be 12.06, and fall would be 11.91.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He is in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. One more opportunity yet today to dial this number, 217-333-7300. That's 333-7300. Get your tickets now for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. That's scheduled for the 6th day of March. We will not take orders tomorrow, Friday, or Monday, as the staff member will be out of the office on those 2 days. But you can call in right now or next week at 217-333-7300. I'm Todd Gleason.